I do not believe the title to be clickbaity at all. Hello, everybody. I'm Jaeger from JaegerShots.com. My buddy Renegade is back behind me. He is doing his walking about. Let's go to a fuller screen. We're burying the lead already. I think we've got a full screen. Yeah, we do have a full screen. I'm going to be talking about CF Express Type A, Type B, my issues with that whole thing. I haven't really got a chance to comment on the whole Canon not allowing third-party lenses. I want to run my mouth a little bit about that as well. Let's just put this over here, move this over here. Make sure I've got the right screens up. We're going in there. So many monitors still streaming for 2 years, but not a regular 2 years. So still figuring stuff out. But I just had these topics that I don't think are like, I wouldn't say worthy, but I don't have a whole lot to say for a full edited video. Then I also have another video maybe down the line where we'll have more content. So just these quick topics. Also, this is going to the podcast on audio. Get this show, Jaeger Shots Podcast, wherever you find your podcast, along with the live stream today. And this, of course, will be on all the YouTube VOD, all the YouTube VODs. There's so many of them. There's a live stream feed. There is also the photography feed. I'll throw it in there. Let's not waste any more time. As I said, I am JaegerShots.com. I have a quote, a little bit of a story from, I believe, 2006 from Sony PlayStation founder Ken Kutaragi, or the father of PlayStation. "We want you, the end consumer," is what he's talking about, "to work a little harder for one." He was talking about the PS3. "We want you to work a little harder for one. We want you to feel like you really want it." I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But the whole thing about working a little bit harder for one, I guess at least they assumed you had a job to get. Nowadays, I think some of these corporations just kind of feel like you already just have a couple of hundred to thousands just laying around to throw at their feet. At least he assumed you had a job back in 2006. So I say all that to talk about the CF Express Type A. It's looking like it's going to be the modern day memory stick Pro Duel. We can even do more Sony references. It's the old PSP format. Their memory device all over again. What was it? UHD? Something like that. These are proprietary devices, or proprietary hardware for devices, I should say. If they don't catch on, you're in a world of hurt. And I don't think that Type A is going to catch on. I don't know anything that takes CF Express Type A cards besides the full-frame Sony cameras, and that's already a niche product. Whether we want to say it or not, people who use those cameras all the time, I'm on A74 right now, they are niche inside of a niche inside of a niche. So I don't know where that adoption to Type A is really going to catch on at, and I feel like going further in the future, when Type A never really caught on to the masses and was incredibly overpriced, with no signs of going down in price, will you ever be able to fully be able to take advantage of the cameras? Now, this is kind of a moot point because V60 cars, V90 cars, those do get the job done. Even 95 megabyte transfer speeds on the UHD class 10 cars, whatever that is, they'll do 60 frames per second on the Sony A74. I just tested that out before going on the air. So it's not like we're in a world of hurt. They did go with SD cards that are widely the format and accepted places. So, not complete doom and gloom. I would have liked to see USB Type B take on with PCIe dual lane, which will take the complicated talk out of that. Easy for me to say. Basically, they're faster and they can hold more storage. This right here is what we're going to chat about. Let's go to the Chrome window. Sony 160GB CF Express Type A, tough memory card, great memory card. 160GB is what we've got to look at here. $358. The 80GB is $178. The 160, well, that's a two-pack. Don't worry, it still gets as ridiculous. The Sony 320GB CF Express Type A card, $649. And for those who don't know, It gets even sillier with the 640 gigabytes of Express Type A card going for $1,249.95. The price of a camera, the price of computer, down payments on a car for a 640 gig memory card. In contrast, the V60 cards, 128 gigs or $60. 128 gigs or $60. One over here for Type A. 80 gigger is 178. 160 gigs is 358. V90 cards that you need for like A7S 3 to do 120 frames per second. Those are going for at 128 gig. Well, that's a three pack. 128 gig on $149. The price performance just is not there. I didn't have the CF Express Type B cards pulled up. I do believe that could be a thing we can look at. Let's see what CF Express Type B is going for. 128 gigs, $139. So they are more expensive cards, but we can see the storage is more and the price is low. Not cheap cards, not as cheap as the SD, mind you, but they are. The price, performance, storage, a bit more rational than what Type A. Angel Bird. Did we have the Angel Bird series? They have been doing some nice things in the Type B space, and it is a good brand. Let's see if we can get this pulled up. 160 gigs. Huh? Our website's gone. Okay, $179 for 160 gigs of the Type B over there. And again, 160 gigs for Type A. It's 358. Like, I'm reading this slowly off the computer because I'm trying to, like, make sure that I'm not seeing, like, a two-pack or a three-pack. But no, the prices are absolutely insane. This is quite an expensive mistake. Maybe not for Sony, it's not going to tank them, but for the end user. And I'm aware of some well-to-do camera users who are just looking at this thing like, this is absolutely insane to have to pay that much for a car to get the most out of a camera that you've purchased. I would have liked to see the switch to Type B. I thought that the A7 R5, well, I was going to say A7 resolution, A7 R5 would have been the perfect place to switch over to Type B. I don't know how much room is inside of that body. I know they probably paid for this mold or pulling the whole Apple thing over. We pay for this mold. We're going to use lightning cables until the European people forced them to change that. I get a moot point. V60, V90, you would be fine. It's just a waste of a card space for most people to go with the Type A. And I actually probably personally, anecdotally, could have used a little bit taller camera, the R5, R6, and my pinky rests a little bit more comfortably. The A1, it just feels like I had to support it with the pinky underneath, like I was at a bar, and that's how I protect my beer when I've been drinking a few. And so that I don't drop it. And if you're on the audio podcast, need the visual aid for that whole thing I'm doing with the pinky of how I control my bottles of beer and cameras. Let's talk about something else that I didn't get a chance to go to too much. Why we won't be seeing the RF mount lenses maybe until late 2024. For those who don't know, Canon said no more third-party lenses. This from Digital Photography gave a little bit of insight that I didn't really get before, as far as why. Let's go with the first reason. Canon doesn't feel the RF lineup is anywhere near maturity, and they want the lineup filled out with their own lenses. I don't know if Canon is the company that actually legitimately believes that taking features away from some cameras is going to make people want the more expensive ones. I don't think that's a good strategy. I went over to Sony. It's terrible strategy. Then maybe this is all hearsay. Take it with a grain of salt. Of course, we see how people attack rumor sites like truth sites and rumors in the title. So take all those with a grain of salt. Second thing, Canon believes the more affordable options are already covered by the EF lenses out there that work extremely well on RF mount cameras with Canon's line of adapters. Okay. Adapters are adapters. They can be lost. This article goes on to say that that adds one more piece of kit where if something happens with the adapter tube, maybe it gets damaged, just anything, you're just out of a lens in camera for the day. That's not super comforting. Also, with the 85 millimeter macro that Canon put out around 400-500 range, it was having a problem going in a nice speedy way between stills and video, maybe getting stuck in macro. Now, I know there's firmware that's come out, but that was still just a lingering thing. And there was a Samyang Rokinon 85mm that people were really loving. Sony's got this particular 85mm as well that people are putting on their camera. And that's the whole thing about using or having third-party lenses. They'll take care of something in a lens lineup where if the first party doesn't have it, the third party will come in and fill a void or just have a better alternative, like with that 85mm Samyang, which is that direct comparison to the 85mm that Canon made for the RF mount that is also a macro lens. But if you shoot as full as I shoot, when you're switching between stills and video, you're just straight up going to miss something if it gets stuck in that macro mode. Again, I know there's firmware. Let me know. Tell me if the firmware has fixed this issue that 85mm RF used to have. I am not aware of it or not, or if it's ever been straightened out. I would love for somebody to tell me, let me know what the deal is, if that particular lens still has that situation. I know the 35mm seemed fine, and those 35-85 is kind of like my favorite kind of go-tos. They also have another macro, but I mean, it's just realistic. Just think about it, guys. You can only make so many lenses yourself. Why not have a third party? I'm going to talk about GPUs in just for a quick second. Back in the day, GPUs, it benefited you to have partners also make GPUs because shelf space, you could only put so much of your product up there for more reasons than just being able to make it. But by having your innards inside of another company, innards, I mean like the CPU things like that, inside of another company's, that company could get a lot of shelf space. It had to get a certain amount of shelf space too, even though it was still technically NVIDIA or AMD. We're getting into the weeds here. You could get more brands to get more space to try to sell a product. And if it was your partner, you're still getting a cut of that. Long story short. We're not dealing with shelf space now, but we are dealing with just the fact that no one's taking risk with these like millimeter numbers like a third party would. Like, you're not going to get a weird 65 or 75 RF or anything right now. And let's read a little bit more. Finally, go back over here to my Chrome window. And finally, Canon isn't done with tweaks and improvements to RF mount. Which, I don't know if this is a patent thing, or he's saying hardware-wise, or he's saying software-wise. I don't know. This article goes on to say, technically, Canon is right. Mirrorless photographers do have access to plenty of EF to EOS R adapters, but adapters adds extra size, which I didn't think up. Setup can be inconvenient, and especially when you're mixing between RF and EF lenses, third parties would come in and almost speed up the process. It might actually fit some things before Canon fixes some things. So, in conclusion, the article says it would be 2024 the earliest before the mount gets opened back up. Let's see, James Dempsey, who wrote that particular article. I did not hear much news about that, and that was a really, really good read. But my thoughts on that is it just absolutely sucks. Like, I'm not super positive I could recommend the RF system right now. And then we all know everybody can make a good stills camera, and we're about at the point where everyone, at least from the dedicated DSLR mirrorless bodies, because I still don't know what the heck to call this, we know the video is probably going to be good starting in the last year or two. For at least the last 6 to 7 years, everyone's been doing excellent still shots. That's not even a question anymore. It's just coming down to the personal preference on the still side. That's straight. But if you can't save cash, then I don't know, especially with the lenses, and that's kind of brutal. Now, there's the other part about using third-party lenses. They're smaller than some of like your pro lenses, and I know RF has the cheaper, smaller lenses, but I, who has a camera set up now, a lav mic, a task cam recording for podcast. Yeah, there could be a third camera somewhere. I don't even know if I've got to cut it off from the other day. I got flustered at a wedding I shot where I turned around and saw somebody shooting his camera, the videographer right there, because the bride was just so cool in her black and white dress. And it was a cool shot. We're all thinking cool shot, cool angle. But I turned around and saw all those cameras. I got taken aback a little bit with all the pro glass, pro lenses, all the bigger, heavier stuff. And y'all, I talk to a camera weekly, not quite daily, but weekly, several days of a week. And I got a little bit taken aback seeing so much larger pro glass in the smaller form, like I'm using a Rokinon 1.8. It's just a whole lot more comfortable to be in front of for people who aren't used to being in front of a camera. And most of the time when dealing with some clients or just friends, family, probably not super used to being in front of a camera. It's almost distracting to have such nice gear sometimes for people who are not used to being in front of a camera. And I think I am one of those people used to being in front of it. And I still was like, this is a lot, y'all. This is a lot. Time out. So that's just one more reason why having a smaller live third party, because it's just not necessary to have super large, heavy pro glass all the time. But don't get me wrong. First world problem, if ever there was one. Again, this is a niche market, like I've been going over and talking about. So, about to wrap this thing up here. I am Jaeger from JaegerShots.com. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for checking in. We did this show live. The podcast is over at wherever you get your podcasts. I was going to say apparel, channel themed apparel. There are some digital prints, wall prints that you can pick up over at JaegerShots.com. It really does help me out. Buy me a coffee. Literally, buymeacoffee.com. We're setting things up over there. And that also really does help out everything that I am working on, and it's much appreciated. So let's go back over here to our Chrome window. GPS. GPU talk. The NVIDIA RTX 4090 is amazing. A photographer should not buy a 4090. No way. I will go so far as to say, you've got to be doing video, and you've got to be doing video working with codecs on a certain level, like 10-bit or more. And if you don't know what that means, the 4090, you're not really going to get too much use out of this thing. And photographers actually could probably get away with integrated graphics on CPUs. I've done that with MacBooks when I'm just working with, it's got to be a later model laptop or computer. And if it's a desktop, yeah, it might not have a GPU. You can probably get away, if you're just a photographer, with not even using a GPU, or just going with, get this, one, maybe 2 years, two generations back, like the 2000 series, which I'm literally using right now, 2050s, not 2050s, but 6070, 3050s, Scoda, kinda. That GPU is not terribly excited, but it would be more than enough for a photographer. You can go low end on a GPU if all you do is photography. That is something I'm broad stroke covering here. There's so many little nuances, but just know when we get into the video side, that's when you're really going to want those higher gigabyte numbers of VRAM on GPUs. And when you're doing more advanced tests, like some motion graphics that can get kind of crazy, we always hear about the Blender test, things like that, then that GPU gets a whole lot more important to you. A few quick notes here. NASA captures the sun smile. I thought this was like an April Fool's kind of joke. I had no idea. I like it did a double take. So NASA has a photo of the sun that it looks like it's smiling. To me, it's like before you get the beat down you're about to get, it's like a smile. This feels like we're going to take an L if the sun is smiling at us. DT Artisans got some new stuff coming out for the Fuji X mount, 27mm f2.8 SF lens. I am very curious. There's a rumor going around that Fuji might be dropping, Fuji might be dropping the, what's the letters, XT5 in November. We'll see how that all unfolds. I love those cameras. I love all the buttons and dials that Fuji puts on their old retro styling on their cameras. I really like about everybody's body design choices. Even Canon's, which I feel like is sort of dated. It needs a little bit of a fresh take, but it also does have a sleekness to the button layout there on like the R3. I do like that. It's kind of a weird thing where it's forward, it's backwards, a little bit of newness in there, blah blah blah. The top screen and stuff on their bodies, I do like that as well. I don't really dislike anybody's camera body design, but Fuji's particularly really does stand out. And y'all, are we ready for what's coming up here in 2 weeks? The kickoff is going down. Rihanna's got new music coming for Black Panther, and it dropped today. I don't want a copyright strike. I'm not going to be playing that song at all. Make sure you catch that and listen to it when it gets ready. Or you can almost start to go listen to it right now as I'm about to wrap up. I was going to start playing the outro song, and I was like, where did it go? It's missing. Yes, let's get ready for more Rihanna. Wait a sec here. Ah, there we go. Make sure that we're playing. Again, everybody, thanks for joining me. I really do appreciate just hanging out with you, just talking cameras, all this fun stuff. New videos coming up this week. I'm editing photos in harsh sunlight. Gonna do a real quick video about that. By quick, I mean, I don't know, 6 to 7 minutes is what it looks like. That edit's clocking in at with my long time pals JP, BB, and their kids. So thankful they let me be their photographer to hook that whole shoot up. So we'll have a little bit of behind the scenes of how I edited all that stuff coming up here in the channel in the next couple of days. So much over at JaegerShots.com. And remember to never miss a shot. Hit that subscribe button from little old me. Jaeger Shots. Everybody have a fantastic and absolutely amazing weekend.